I encourage you to get your Bibles out and follow along with me. Make sure that what is being stated is in harmony with what the Bible teaches. If you feel like I've missed the mark in one way or another, if I've fallen short on what the Scriptures say, if you feel like I've gone beyond what the Bible teaches, I always make myself available at the door after services, and you don't hesitate to let me know that. If I'm wrong about that, I'll repent of it, make correction of it, never preach it again, that heaven will be my eternal home. But if you study these things and you find that they're true to the book, and we just encourage you to believe them, obey them, share them with others, that you can go to heaven when life is over. Life is brief. I know that the younger we are, the more that we feel like that we've got our whole life ahead of us, so we feel. And we feel like that life just goes on and on and on. And then the older we get, the more we realize that we're closer to the grave than we used to be. But one day our earthly pilgrimage is going to be over. And it may be sooner than what we think. I don't know. I don't know the day of my death, and you don't either. And even more so, the Lord may return before we think that He will. We just don't know how long life is going to be. We don't know if it's going to be long. We don't know if it's going to be brief. But we know in the great scheme of things, certainly when you view life in respect of eternity, and you compare it with eternity, then certainly it's just as James penned in James 4:14 that it appears as a little vapor that appears for a little time and then what? Vanishes away. It's gone. One generation falls away and another generation comes. And so that just continues to be the case until time is no more. But in light of that, I realize that I'm not going to live forever. I realize as I stand before you this morning that this very well could be the last sermon that I ever preach. I don't know. But if it's the case that this is the last day of my earthly pilgrimage, I wonder what folks could say about me. I wonder what folks would say. I wonder what could be said about me. I wonder what could be said about you. Have you ever thought about that? I've shared with you on a number of occasions that for several years I worked for several different funeral homes, and I don't know the hundreds and hundreds of bodies that I helped make removals on and prepare for burial and then commit to the earth. And I don't know, but as you're out on cemeteries, as most of all of you have been, you go by the headstones and you read these various different epitaphs. Epitaph is a saying that's often inscribed on a tombstone, a headstone, that's meant to really memorialize that individual's life, to cause one to reflect on that person, maybe to sum up in a word or two or a little brief, concise phrase that person's life. I realize that not all epitaphs are true to the life of the individual laying there. Their body laying there. I understand that. And you do too. But again, I wonder what could be said. What could be inscribed on that headstone about each of us? Maybe some of you that are older have given that some thought. Some things that you want stated about you. He was a good father. She was a good mother. She's a good wife or husband. Well, as you look in the Bible, there are just tons and tons of statements made about groups of people and individuals. And I'd like for us to think about what will be said about you. And I've got to put myself in that question. You do too. No one but the Lord knows you better than yourself. So, you know what could be said about you. I want to look at some divine epitaphs, some things that are stated in the Bible about individuals. We know that the Bible says in Hebrews 9:27, as it is appointed unto me once to die, but after this, the judgment, as Brendan did a very good job reading from Ecclesiastes 12, 6 and 7, a man is going to die, the body is going to go back to the dust from whence it was taken, and the spirit will return unto God who gave it. And so as you reflect back on your life, look forward to years that you may have or may not have, what do you see being stated about you when the end of your life comes? At least the end of your life here. Life goes beyond the grave, by the way. Hebrews 9:27. Let's think about some of these, just to get our minds thinking about what was said about individuals in the Bible, and then we need to make application of these things. And could it be said about us? Come with me, if you will, to Acts chapter 10. And notice, if you will, in verse 38. Acts 10, verse 38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Could it be said about you and me that we went about doing good? If this was inscribed on your headstone, would that be an accurate statement about your life?
No.
We hope that the answer would be yes, right?
Oh.
I'm glad you're paying attention. And if we're honestly in a place where maybe we could say no, then what do we need to do about that? We need to think about it and make some corrections as we get older. You young ones, as you're getting older, need to think about that. Who's this stated about? Jesus of Nazareth. He went about doing good. Do you realize that not everything that Jesus did is recorded in the Bible? John makes a statement about that in the very last chapter of the book of John. When he states in verse 25, "And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written, every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written." He went about doing good. Do we do that? In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 18, those that are rich were encouraged to do good works. In Revelation 12 and in verse 21, "Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with..." What's the next word? Good. And then in Galatians chapter 6, verse 10, "As we have opportunity, let us do good unto all men." That's me, you, all the way around the room. "Especially unto those who are of the household of faith." And so, when your life comes to an end, do you want it to be able, folks, to say that you went about doing good to other people? We do, don't we? Number two. Come with me to Matthew 26 and in verse 25. Matthew chapter 26 and in verse 25. "Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I?" Makes another good sermon. "Is it I?" "He said unto him, Thou hast said." Could it be said about us that we betrayed him? You know, to betray means to turn the back toward one, to give one over. It's not always used in a negative sense in the Bible, but here certainly it is. When you back up to verse 24, "The Son of Man goeth as it is written of him, but woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had never or not been born." That's strong. That's powerful. Judas betrayed the Lord, gave him over, gave him up, turned his back against him. In Matthew chapter 26 and in verse 16, the Bible says, "From that time he sought opportunity to betray him." Had you been Judas, would you have coveted after 30 pieces of silver and sought opportunity to betray the Lord? Oh, I would have never done that. You better watch those words. When we begin to think, "I will never," or "I would have never." Peter said, "Though all Lord men should forsake thee or deny thee, I'll never do that. I'm willing to go to death for thee." Come with me to the book of Acts chapter 9. Some of these statements, these sayings that we read about, are things that we want to be said, while others are not. In Acts 9:36, now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. When folks have a committal service to inter your earthly tabernacle, will they say about you, here lies someone who is full of good works? You know, the Bible often makes mention of good works. We just talked about the Lord in Acts chapter 10, who went about doing good. In Titus chapter 2, verse 14, we are a purchased people to be zealous unto what? Good works. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Do works matter? Does it? Do things that you go about doing daily make a difference? It makes a difference in our day-to-day lives. It makes a difference within our families, within our jobs. And it even affects eternity. Because the Bible says in Revelation chapter 20, when that great judgment is pictured in verse 13, that they were judged every man according to his works. Take notice of your works and do good works. Be full of good works and alms deeds, not to be seen of others. Matthew chapter 5, the Lord admonished for us to not be do our deeds to be seen of others, or else we have our reward. The glory of men is all we're going to get. You have it. But do things which man doesn't see, that our Father which seeth in secret will reward us openly. Over in the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verse 26. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26. For if we sin willfully, after that we have received knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. As people are gathered about us, will folks have inscribed on our headstone, he or she sinned willfully? Could that be said about us? You know better, but you do it anyway. And by you, I'm including me in that as well. We're not to be like that. We're going to make mistakes from time to time, sure. That doesn't mean that it's not sin nonetheless. We need to know the truth and avoid doing what is wrong. In the context of this, what's he talking about? Let's provoke into love and to good works, considering one another. Hebrews 10:24, verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. We know to assemble with God's people, and yet we stay home. I could have, but I didn't. Shame on me if that's the case. Don't sin willfully. Well, I've done that in the past. Well, recognize that, repent of it, ask God to forgive you, and keep on going, and don't do it again. Don't do it again. 1 John chapter 3, verse 4. For whosoever transgresseth the law sins, for sin is the transgression of the law. In Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. By the way, that word wage means a stipulated pay, really, in the Bible. When Paul talked about I robbed other churches, taking wages of them to do you service, it means a stipulated pay. You're being rendered for what you've done. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Over in the book of Joshua, chapter 1, verse 2. I've made mention to you before, perhaps the shortest sermon ever delivered. Joshua chapter 1 and in verse 2. My servant Moses is dead. Folks, if nothing more could be said about Donnie Oliver than for the Lord to say, "My servant Donnie is dead," I'll take that. Will you? My servant. Put your name in that blank. Is dead. Do we serve God? Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? The Christian life is one of service. We're rendering service unto God, serving others. Setting our affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 and following. Hebrews 12:28. We therefore, having received a kingdom, he talks about, which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Who are you serving today? The God of heaven or the God of this world? The devil. Only two categories. Where would I put myself? Where would I be? Serving God or serving the devil? In 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 15. Which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. Will it be said about you or me that we have forsaken the right way? You ever heard that statement? Well, truth be told. People just kind of throw that around. Well, if truth be told. We need to tell the truth all the time. Not if the truth, but tell the truth. But if what is put on your grave marker is accurate, could it be said that we've forsaken the right way? You know, if we've had forsaken the right way, if it's possible to forsake the right way as these people did, or individuals in the Bible, then that implies that there is a wrong way. For there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death, as the wise man stated in the book of Proverbs. A lot of times in the Old Testament, individuals did what was right in their own eyes. Didn't mean that it was right in the sight of God, but they did what was right in their own eyes. And in so doing, they forsook the right way. Can we do that today? In Mark chapter 14, verse 50, we talked about betraying the Lord earlier. You know, a lot of people forsook the Lord. What the Lord taught and did was right. He was the light of the world, John 14, 6. John 1, 1 through 14 makes that point. They forsook Him. Mark 14, 50. Will you also go away? In John chapter 6, as the Bible says in verse 66, from that time many turned back and walked no more with Him, even His own disciples. He said to the 12, will you also go away? And Peter said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of life, and we are sure that Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Genesis chapter 5, verse 24. A statement is made concerning Enoch. For he was not, for God took him. He walked with God. Genesis 4, 24. Are you walking with God? Someone says, what does it mean to walk with God? That is to do what's right. It's only when we walk in the light that we have fellowship with God and with His Son and with those of like precious faith. John makes that point in 1 John 1, 3 and 7. We read about an aged couple in the book of Luke, chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. Zacharias and Elizabeth. There was in the days of Herod the king of Judea a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abi, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord. Now watch this. Blameless. They kept what God said to do. Have I done that? Do you do that? Can it be said of us that we walked with God? In Revelation chapter 2, verse 4, as John is writing by inspiration of the Holy Spirit to the seven churches of Christ in Asia, some of them receive rebuke from the Lord. In verse 4, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love." Will it be said you've left your first love? You used to do what was right. In fact, Paul commended them in the book of Ephesians. I don't know how much time passed, but those at Ephesus, we read about their conversion in the book of Acts. Acts 19. "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against you because you've left your first love." You know what happens when we fail or stop doing what we have used to do that was right? Repentance is in order. That's why we go on in the text. Verse 5, "Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen and repent. Do the first works, or else I will come to thee quickly and remove thy candlestick out of its place, except thou repent." Is it possible to fall? Sure it is. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and in verse 17, he says, "Ye therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness." Will it be said about us that we've left our first love? In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4, talking about the faithfulness of Abel, "He being dead yet speaketh." Words can last, and actions can last a very long time. By the way, those of you who use social media need to be careful what you do this number with. You may delete those accounts, but those words may not be deleted. Once you put it out there, it's out there. "He being dead, yet speaketh." In Genesis chapter 4, and then verse 10, let's go back to verse 9. "And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel thy brother? He said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground." What will folks say about your words and your actions, my words and actions, long after I'm gone? Think that's important? One more point. In Revelation chapter 12 and in verse 11, one of these really key verses of the book of Revelation, "They overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the dead." It will be said, you know this is in plural, but it was said about each of these individuals included there, "Love not their lives unto the dead." Could it be said about me, "I love not my life even unto the dead"? Now the time may come that we may be put to death for service to the Lord, as many individuals in the New Testament was in New Testament times. My point about this is, do we love our life more then we love the Lord? In the book of John, chapter 12, verse 25. John 12, verse 25, Jesus said, He that loveth his life shall lose it. And he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. They love not their lives unto the dead. Are we willing to go all the way to the grave with the Lord that we might live forever with Him? Maybe you're here this morning having never obeyed the gospel of Christ.